Registration is now open for the 2018 Apologetics Canada Conference. The conference is located in beautiful Abbotsford, British Columbia on March 2nd and 3rd. We have another amazing lineup of speakers. Get all the details and register at apologeticscanadaconference.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Apologetics Canada podcast. This is Steve Kim.
Daniel Markin.
Andy and Terry are not available this week, so it's just the two of us. I said I'd never do that again, but I just
did. You just did it.
Anyway, in Andy and Terry's absence, we were asked to address a particular issue this week. Mm-hmm. It has to do with the remarks made by Governor General Julie Payette. Now, for those of you listeners that are not in Canada or UK or any of the Commonwealth countries, I know we have a lot of listeners down in the US. And if you're not very familiar with how our system works here, basically what it is instead of the president, we have the prime minister, and he's the head of the government. And when the House of Commons, our legislative branch, creates a law, that has to be, just as in the United States, right? The president has to sign it. In Commonwealth countries, we have governor generals who represent the queen. Now, a common misconception is that our queen, for example, in Canada, is the Queen of England. That's not exactly right. To Canadians, she's the Queen of Canada. She is also, to Australians, she's the Queen of Australia. Same thing with, you know, Queen of New Zealand.
New Zealand, yeah.
So on and so forth. The same Queen of Canada is also the Queen of England. But just so we're clear, as an independent country, our monarch is not the Queen of England. It's the Queen of Canada.
Yeah, Canada operates as a completely autonomous country from England and New Zealand and Australia. But right. We're still linked.
Right, Commonwealth.
The Commonwealth, right. Yeah, to England. Yeah. So
since there is only one person, and she can't be everywhere, she's obviously in England, and so the Queen has somebody who will represent her in each of these Commonwealth countries. So that's why we have the Governor General, and she's the one who, bills will land on her desk, and she's the one who signs it into law. So very kind of a symbolic figure, an important figure. It's an esteemed office. Now, our 29th Governor General in Canada is Julie Payette. She's a very kind of an accomplished person. Obviously, if you look at her resume, my goodness, like she's an astronaut, right? Yeah. She's a scientist, engineer, and an astronaut. She's the first Canadian to board the International Space Station. So she's got quite the resume that she can show off. She is the 29th Governor General, but recently at a science conference, she makes some remarks that lit up the media, really. Mm-hmm. A lot of people took offense to it, especially people of religious persuasions. And let me just play a quick clip for you here. This is the problematic comment right here. And this is Julie Payette, the 29th Governor General, speaking.
Still today, in learned society and in houses of government, unfortunately, we're still debating and still questioning whether humans have a role in the earth warming up, or whether even the earth is warming up, period. That we are still debating and still questioning whether life was a divine intervention or whether it was coming out of a natural process, let alone, oh my goodness, lo and behold, random process. Yet so many people, I'm sure you know many of them, still believe, want to believe that maybe taking a sugar pill will cure cancer if you will it, good enough, and that your future and every single one of people here's personality can be determined by looking at planets coming in front of invented constellations.
So, there's so much that we could say about this. Mm-hmm. What was your reaction when you saw this?
My initial reaction, watched it. Andy was super angry. He sent it to me. I sit next to Andy in our offices here at Northview, and so I'm one of his interns. And he said, bro, it's going to blow your mind. And so I watched it and I'm thinking, did she really just say that?
Yeah.
Like, did she really just, do you know what kind of can of worms you just opened up there?
Right. The big problem there is that she mentioned a number of things, right? Like the denial of anthropogenic climate change, namely that, mm-hmm. you know, man-made climate change and sugar pills, the alternative medicine kind of stuff and astrology and horoscopes. And in the midst of all of that, she also threw all these religious people under the bus who believe in intervening God, the kind of God that is actually active in this world. So that would include Jews, Muslims, and Christians, and
First Nations.
Yeah, and a whole bunch of people. She just threw right under the bus mm-hmm. in making this comment. Now, I understand that this is a science conference. Even then, she is there as the Governor General of Canada.
Yeah, I think the Governor General of Canada isn't supposed to really be making political statements. I think the idea is that she's a, you know, she's right. appointed, mm-hmm. But she's appointed just to be a representative of the Queen.
Right. She's supposed to be a neutral figure. She's supposed to be an apolitical figure. I mean, my goodness, she is there to serve Canada, and she is throwing a good majority of the population under the bus.
Yeah. Chris Selly, writing for the National Post, he said that there's about 53% of Canadians who believe God is active in this world. And so he says, well, someone's got to tell them.
Yeah.
Right? Someone's got to, I guess Julie thought it was appropriate that she would tell all, like over half of Canadians that, oh, well, you're dumb for believing in a God or some yeah. sort of spiritual something out there.
The problem is that she basically condescended to all these people in saying, how can we have this in learned society,
mm-hmm.
right, in today's day and age? Meaning if you don't basically believe what she believes about these things, guess what you are?
You're uneducated, you're dumb.
Exactly, that's the implication,
you should catch up.
Right?
Oh, that's, yeah, it's 100% the implication.
Yeah, and so that's why a lot of people are taking offense to that. One of her roles as the Governor General of Canada is to bring Canadians together. That's actually on the website, the Governor General's website. If you go there, it'll state that one of her roles as the Governor General of Canada is to bring Canadians together. But how can I trust that she will be capable of bringing Canadians together? How can I trust that she will do this part of her job when she basically insults religious believers herself? So already I am not confident in her ability to do her job in that way. Now, this kind of view that she is betraying is scientism. Basically, scientism is the idea that science is really the only way to gain knowledge. Now, the problem is it's just self-refuting in the sense that that statement, that scientism, that belief is not itself arrived at via science. It is a philosophical statement.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you say science is this or that, you've already stepped outside of science. You're making statements about science and you're not making statements of science.
What would be the appropriate way science seems to show that climate change is in fact happening?
Well, evidence suggests, you know, climate yeah. change is real and all that sort of thing. And that, you know, taking evidence shows that taking sugar pills and just willing for healing doesn't help. And she's free to say that. But I think it was uncalled for to say in learned societies, we shouldn't have these things.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention that she lumped a whole lot of things together that to us doesn't seem like they belong together. I don't think she appreciates that not all religious beliefs are equal. There's no nuance there. Horoscopes is the same, basically the same in kind as the claims of Christianity or Islam. I mean, does she understand that there is a whole lot of very sophisticated thought that went into all of this? And I find that problematic because apparently she hasn't heard of people like Ian Hutchinson, mm-hmm. who is the professor of nuclear physics at MIT,
mm-hmm.
hasn't heard of John Lennox at Oxford, the mathematician who has 3 PhDs,
mm-hmm.
And Francis Collins, the director of the National Institute for Health down in the United States, who was formerly the director a co-director of the Human Genome Project. Mm-hmm. Like, these are all Christians, and I can name many more. And so it is patently untrue that if you are religious, somehow you're not a good scientist or you can't be one or anything of that sort.
It's almost as if you're religious, then that completely cancels all your degrees and you go back to being an unlearned person.
So right there, I mean, the fact that we have people like Francis Collins and John Lennox and Ian Hutchinson and mm-hmm. others like Simon Conway Morris at Cambridge, and these are not just unknown professors from some random podunk university. Mm-hmm. Like, we're talking like Oxford and Cambridge and
top of the game too. These are the big leagues.
Yeah,
you guys.
You're telling me that they're uneducated, you know, somehow it doesn't make sense. And so that I just found it very troubling to me that the representative of the Queen of Canada is making these kinds of statements.
Mm-hmm. And part of the outrage too is the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, came out and said he praised her for her mm-hmm. actions. And lots of other Liberal MPs did as well, saying, oh, great job, Julie, for saying all these things. You know, you're really taking science seriously and doing all these great things. And that's, of course, what has enraged a lot of other people. Because it's one thing if, you know, the representative of your country maybe speaks out of turn. I think more people could be, okay, maybe she spoke out of turn. But when your Prime Minister, the leader of your country, now says, actually, what she said is totally right and I agree with it, I think that's what actually turns a lot more people off.
Definitely in defending her remarks, I think the Liberal government is playing a dangerous game.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're playing an elitist game.
That's my concern. Right?
Yeah.
It is a dangerous game in the sense that I don't think it'll help them in the end. I think it'll only hurt them, because people who might be kind of sitting on the fence that are supporting the Liberal government, but you know, they could swing the other way. I mean, they could lose a lot of people that way. Yeah.
Well, and have you noticed too that the NDP party leader mm-hmm. that they're going to be having forward, he's a practicing Sikh, and so he's obviously very religious.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that actually my opponent, this guy that also serves in government, he is unlearned and dumb. Mm-hmm. It's a bizarre statement.
I mean, to be fair, I think when Justin Trudeau and these other Liberal MPs came to her defense, what they were probably trying to defend was her enthusiasm for science.
Sure.
The problem is that her enthusiasm for science came with her condescension to mm-hmm. religious people.
Mm-hmm.
In defending her remarks, they also seem to be, at least, you know, a lot of people will take it that way, right? That they are actually insulting religious believers in Canada. So that there's all kinds of problems right mm-hmm. there. I mean, again, this is a, I can sort of understand where they're coming from, mm-hmm. but that I think was an unwise move.
Yeah, especially if climate change is one of your agendas and you're endorsing that, but then you're also bringing all the baggage of it, that also all the religion and all the people who believe in faith and have faith are actually dumb as well.
Unfortunately, Julie Payette definitely kind of threw some baggage in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now mm-hmm. she'll have to kind of live with that suspect reputation of that governor general who insulted religious believers.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. We'll see how long that impression lasts. Yeah. But it's the sort of thing that I could potentially see following her for the rest of her career
mm-hmm.
as the governor general.
So, Steve, I have two thoughts that I've been exploring on this mm-hmm. and this idea when I think about this morning. So the first one is this. I just so happened this morning to be watching a talk with, it was Jordan Peterson, mm-hmm. who I think we've talked about in this program before.
Yeah.
He is a professor at the University of Toronto, and I believe in the psychology department. So he's been studying that for years and years. And he was on the Joe Rogan podcast,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about God and science and whatnot. And Joe Rogan asked Jordan Peterson, so, you know, what do you do with God and science? Aren't they opposing? And Peterson said quite well. He said, science explains what things are and mm-hmm. and how they work, but religion and faith and like religious beliefs show how you put these into practice. This idea that putting into practice, this goes back for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And he would argue that the people who, like the writers of the Bible, mm-hmm. really understood something about how humans ought to live in relation to God's story.
I think I've listened to that bit before. I mostly agree with what Jordan Peterson says. There is that one caveat I would like to make, though. There's that one piece that I don't necessarily agree with, or at least it should be hashed out more fully,
sure,
when he says science tells you what things are. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily true. Science can tell you what you're made of.
Yeah. So I might be misrepresenting him here, but...
No, I think he did say that. And okay, I remember thinking, I wouldn't quite put it that way. I think I know what he means by that. He probably means science tells you what things are made of. Mm-hmm. But I mean, on our podcast, we often talk about, defining things, mm-hmm, by their purpose, mm-hmm, right? And so... You look at a watch, well, science could probably tell you how it works and what it's made of, but in terms of what it is, you'll need to ask the person who created it, the beings that put these things together as a purposeful whole. You'll need to have some direct or indirect access to them. Mm-hmm. And so that's the only thing. But it is true that it is things like religion, ethics, philosophy, and all of these other things that kind of inform what to do with it. Mm-hmm. Right? Just as you, with science, you can put together an atomic bomb. But ultimately, it'll be our ethical philosophies that inform us as to how we should use it, or if we should use it. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should save it for, those big emergencies where this asteroid is headed towards the Earth, and maybe we can use that.
Armageddon.
Or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Now, some people might argue that, well, no, we can figure out ethics, via science. For example, like Sam Harris, mm-hmm, like the moral landscape and those sorts of things. I think I've mentioned this briefly before, but unfortunately, Sam Harris equivocates on the word good and bad. Mm-hmm. And so it's funny that in his debate with Dr. Craig, Dr. Craig actually offered a logical knockdown argument, which doesn't really happen very often in a debate. And so at the end of the day, I appreciate the effort, but I think ultimately that effort fails. Anyway, all that to say, there is so much that has so many presuppositions that you have to bring to, mm-hmm, modern science to get it even off the ground.
Yeah.
In fact, I've been studying a little bit more into this recently. And there is a reason that modern science came out of a place like Christianized Europe, a place that is so religiously saturated. And that is the kind of a place that modern science came from. How could that be if science and religion are so diametrically opposed to each other? So as you do more reading in this area, that this idea that science and religion are inherently at war or in conflict, that's just a very kind of relatively recent mm-hmm, invention in the 19th century by people like Andrew Dixon White and John William Draper. They definitely are the ones that really kind of propagated it, and people really bought into this conflict thesis when they wrote their books, from as far as I can tell. But historians of science, their consensus is pretty clear that the relationship between science and religion may be a bit complex. But one thing you can't say is that they're inherently at odds. In fact, in medieval Europe, it was the church that was the biggest supporter of the scientific endeavor. Even though people think like, oh, Galileo, what about Galileo? Never mind that Pope Urban, before he was a pope, while he was a cardinal, he was one of the admirers. And even after he became pope, he was indifferent to the whole heliocentrism debate. It's just that... Galileo wasn't exactly the most nuanced kind of guy, right? He writes a book where there are three characters, and one is called Simplicio. Basically, he's the simpleton, and he's supposed to symbolize the Pope or whatever, and the Pope got offended by it. And so it was more of a political battle, the whole thing with trial of Galileo. That was more of a political battle. But all of that to say, look, if you look at it, in order for you to even do something like modern science— you need to have certain ideas in place, like the idea that this world is not God. The idea, basically, that this world was created gave early scientists a big sort of... they felt free, basically, to investigate it. Because if you're from an animistic culture where there are spirits living in everything... Or if you come from a pantheistic worldview, say Taoism or something like that, I mean, if you look at these things, I mean, if you think everything is God, you're not going to try to investigate everything and tear things apart and actually see what it's like. In fact, you look at a worldview like Taoism, it actually encourages you not to interfere with nature and just go with the flow, right? Just go with the yin-yang. Try not to stand in the way of nature. Yeah. And if you move to, say, Buddhism or Hinduism, well, this whole thing is an illusion anyway, so why would you bother? And so if there is any science to be found from these worldviews, it is despite the worldviews, not because of the worldviews, that you have science there. And I don't think they had science in the sense of like modern science that depends on observation, experimentation, and mathematical formulation and all that kind of stuff. So actually, modern science, as we know it, has its roots in certain religious beliefs that gave it its motivation. Mm. One thing that's often not mentioned whenever you hear about guys like Galileo or Giordano Bruno and these guys, they were all Christian. Right, like Johannes Kepler, he actually called it his duty to, you know, do his science because it glorifies God.
Mm. But there, I think, is one of the pushbacks is because all these guys were Christians, that must mean that they're trying to have power over everyone. And I think that's where the postmodernists would say, yeah, you know, all of this scientific inquiry you're coming up with as a Christian is only you're only trying to use that to serve you to have more power, which was corrupted, like when the Pope was in charge. Like you saw the terror that happened, and that's what religion does. And so I think that this statement from Payette, in a sense, is saying, look, we're done with God. Now all we have is science, because that has only led to corruption, but science won't lead us to corruption.
Yeah, see, that's a problem, because for one, science is a way to investigate the world. Mm-hmm. It's not a worldview.
Yes, but she seems to think that if we continue with just having science as a worldview, then that's going to usher in the utopia.
Right. Which is scientism.
Yeah.
Right? Which is not science.
No, it's a belief. It's a belief system.
Right. It's a philosophical.
And so she's thinking, hey, look, we're going to create this utopia if you just ditch God, mm-hmm. and now we can all be on the same page with this and now work towards utopia. And how has that worked out in the past?
At the end of the day, if you have this scientistic worldview, where is it all going to lead? This view falls within often a larger worldview of atheistic secularist view or secular humanist views and what have you. And basically at the end of the day, the idea is if we can just be rid of things like religion and just use science and create policies based on evidence rather than just people's unsupported opinions, then we will be able to usher in this unprecedented
utopia.
Basically, we'll arrive at utopia, right? Yeah. Creating policies based on evidence, that sort of thing, that's all well and good. The problem is people will differ on what these different lines of evidence suggest, or sometimes what even the evidence is, right? Depending on the different kind of sources that they're looking at.
So, Steve, where does the gospel fit into this?
The gospel is not scientific, let's just put it that way, right? The gospel tells us that there is far more to this world, that this natural world isn't all there is, contrary to what Julie Payette might say. And science, modern science, I should say, while it is a great tool to investigate this world points to a greater reality outside of itself.
Yeah.
This is where Julie Payette's scientism comes in, this head-on collision with the gospel.
Which is what a lot of those other, like John Lennox and... they would agree that right. There is more. There is science, but there's more than just science.
And yeah, and many scientists like Francis Collins and Ian Hutchinson, they would say that if you study enough science, you will actually start to see that there is more to this world than just the physical universe. For example, Jonathan Feng, this astronomer from, I believe, UC Berkeley, he's also a believer. Because in studying the universe, he's seen, well, it had to have a beginning.
Yeah.
Well, there's got to be more to the universe than that. Something had to start it.
It was I had to take a science class in my liberal arts education at my school. And so I said, oh, fine, astronomy, that'll be easy. Ended up being one of the harder classes I took. But it was amazing because every single corner, I'm learning things about the universe that I'm like, how good is our God? Like, how marvelous is his mind that he could create this? Like, it just kept blowing my mind. And I would even get like the weird shivers when you hear about satellites that they sent out that have gone beyond our solar system mm-hmm. and are now just floating through space, like through nothingness. Mm-hmm. But then our galaxy is like a grain of sand on a beach. And there's, you know, like millions and millions of galaxies out there.
Yeah,
I just marveled at it every time and said, wow, how good is this God? And how good is it that we can know him?
The sheer size and the scale of the universe is awe-inspiring.
Sorry, I guess where I get super passionate about this is there is no hope in scientism. And there's really no purpose behind it. But there is a purpose behind knowing a God who loves you and that you can worship and that you can have true fulfillment in.
I mean, scientism alone can't get you anything like value. Mm-hmm. It can't give you anything like hope because, well, if what modern scientists are telling us is true, then this universe, all there is to it is just particles in motion, and ultimately we're all going to stop moving, and we're all going to die, and we're all going to decay, and that'll be the end of it.
Yeah.
And where's hope in that? Well, I think we've ranted enough. There's probably other angles that we could have covered. Hopefully this doesn't come across as us just attacking Julie Payette. What we wanted to do was engage your comments and whether that was appropriate for Governor General and what about scientism and all of that stuff. So it's not an attack against the person because it's so easy to dehumanize, especially politicians, right? Because it's easy to reduce them to...
Idiots.
Idiots.
You know what I mean? Which is...
Sometimes not even, right? I've heard some friends call other like political figures like monsters and things like that. I've seen people say these kinds of things about other politicians that they don't like. And so hopefully it doesn't come across that way. But yeah, these are some of our thoughts on what Julie Payette said. And we'll just leave it there this week. Thank you for joining us, listeners. The Apologetics Canada podcast has been a ministry of Apologetics Canada. And we'll come back next week with more stuff to think about. And until then, ciao. If you enjoy and appreciate the AC podcast, show us some love on iTunes. Please consider leaving a review. It helps us keep doing what we're doing.